Welcome back, Tom Bell here, and on this episode, I'm chatting with Cassie Keller, marathoner and running coach, and she has mindset for days, just such a wonderful mindset, so many great things that she shares throughout this interview. I really, really enjoyed catching up with her and digging into her story and you know what she's been up to, and I know that she's going to continue to set big goals and reach them. I know you're going to love this one, so let's get into it. On today's show, we welcome Cassie Keller, a marathoner and running coach from Oregon in the USA. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I'm very excited to chat with you. I see your posts and you got this beaming smile and you're wearing cool glasses and you just look, you know, so happy to be out there running. And I feel like that always just, you know, adds a little bit of a lift to me. So Cassie, I really am looking forward to our chat. But for people listening who have not yet come across you, could you tell us a little bit about your endurance life?
Sure. Yeah. It's actually kind of funny that I am an endurance runner now. I started very casually when I was 21. I was a senior in college and super out of shape and thinking to myself, oh man, I should really, you know, try to take care of my body a little bit. Hey, let's start running. After about 15 seconds on a treadmill, I thought, I'm not sure about this running thing. But slowly and surely, I kind of kept up with it, and I was really proud of myself once I could run a mile straight. So I just kind of kept up my mile routine, and then on a whim, I signed up for a half marathon, just basically to see if I could survive the thing. Survived it, thought this is pretty cool. Then I would run, you know, one half marathon each fall. In 2012, I ran my first marathon again, just to survive the thing. And, I barely survived. but it was fun and, just kind of kept up with it. And I actually just ran my, I think it was my 9th marathon yesterday.
Oh, wow. That's cool. Holy. And because the marathon's a really long way, like the idea when you sort of talk about like barely surviving it, like I get that because it's a really, really, like you just, it's odd, hey, like you go for these distances and of course it's a long way, but it's like your body, I don't know how you felt in the first one, but you're a certain distance in, let's call it 10K, and you're like 10K is a long way. And then you realize like, I'm only a quarter of the way. And you're thinking like, you know, then you're at 20K and it's like half, what? No, your body's like,
only half?
What are you doing out here? I like it. So 15 seconds on the treadmill to knocking out 9 marathons. That's obviously been quite a journey.
It has. I think I like it because it's so hard. I'm not naturally a runner. I have to work really hard at this thing. You know, when you see other people out and they look so happy, like they're floating, like I work really hard.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, like I'm just glancing at your Instagram bio, but is 3 hours and 18, I don't know if yesterday changed that, but is it 3 hours 18 still your marathon PB?
That is actually what I ran yesterday.
Yes, that's awesome. Cool. And what was it? What was it prior to 3:18?
It was 3:21 from Boston in 2018.
Nice. A little PR, a PB there, which is nice. So 9 marathons, hey, and it must be interesting, like, because you know, running now, not only are you working hard to really like be a great runner, like you're saying, but it seems to me that it's become a big part of your life with also now being a coach. So, you know, tell us a little bit about that as well. Like what's it like been like transitioning to learn to be a coach?
Oh, sure. Well, in reference to your great runner statement, I'm still working to become a great runner, but so I guess it was 2016 when I first learned what speed work was and actually followed my first training plan, which seems silly now looking back on it. But once I discovered those things, my speed really picked up. And ever since that time, I've had a lot of my friends ask me for tips and training plans and things. And so I would, you know, help them and write training plans and really direct their training. So I thought, hey, why don't I just, you know, go to a coaching class and see if I could do coaching for people. And so I guess I just, in 2017, I went to Florida. I attended an RRCA training seminar, got certified to coach, and now I just do it on the side. It's really fun. I enjoy when runners come to me and, you know, they don't know a lot about training or racing and just even the very basics. You forget that you've learned this along the way. So to be able to help pass that along is just super fun.
And especially like if you've got the extra skills, then, you know, and you are doing it with friends and family, not only does it bring you a little bit more credibility, I suppose it also potentially brings you the opportunity to bring bigger gains for them, bigger wins, that you're not going to give them anything that it's like, oh, I didn't know that your knee would pop if you did that level of training. Do you know? I mean, like, that's probably not a thing, you know, but like, I guess knowing some fundamentals probably it gives you a little bit more peace of mind as well.
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, when I started, I had to learn everything the hard way, the really hard way. So to be able to help people bypass those aches and pains and heartaches and all the stupid mistakes, you know, we all make, it's really nice.
I love that feeling too, actually. Like I think I almost live my life like that. Like once I've learned something, if there's people around me that could potentially use the knowledge and they're open to hearing about it, I will teach everybody almost everything that I know. Like I, because of that same reason, you just look and you think like, well, gosh, if, and people have helped me a lot in my life. So, you know, it's, and it is those times when why struggle through when we all could lift each other up and we just all arrive at the finish line miles faster together, because as it, you know, it's almost like pulling someone up over the rock face that you can't reach or giving them a push up. Then they reach down and help you up the cliff face. You wouldn't have been able to do it if you both did it on your own. But together you get over the obstacles much quicker.
Absolutely.
So yeah, I like the idea of helping one another. So that's been interesting, and that's just been growing. Like, have you got like a little bit of a base of people that you're working with?
Yeah, I have a handful of clients, and I work full time, so this is just on the side. So I don't have a ton of extra time. I just work with a few people because I like to be available to them whenever they need. And it's surprising how much time it takes for each athlete that you're working with, especially if they have things going on in their life. I like to be super available and be able to do my best for each of them. So
I like it. And so the job that you're doing, I think I saw maybe like a fireman, fire lady, fire person, a civilian uniformed person. I don't know.
Oh, I posted that picture and I never thought that anyone would think I'm a firefighter. I'm not a firefighter. I am a civilian who wears a uniform to work every day. But I work in a fire department and I do public education. So I have a communications degree. So I do a lot of writing, editing, designing. But my new role at the fire department is public education. With everything that the fire department deals with, you know, fire safety, falls, medical things, educating the public on what the fire department actually does. It's a fun thing, and public service is really rewarding.
Yeah, that sounds cool. Actually, I heard a story the other day, and it's controversial, the whole moon landing, and is it real, is it not? And certainly not something that I'm wanting to debunk or make true, but one quote that I'd heard the other day was of the president, I don't know who it was, my history's not great, but was walking through NASA, apparently, and was asking everybody, what do you do, what do you do, and what do you do? And they're all telling him, oh, I designed this part of the rocket, and I do this super maths. And they asked this man who's sweeping the floors in the building, and he's like, oh, I'm here to help put a man on the moon. And, you know, it turns out that guy was the janitor, but it showed about purpose and when you're there being a part of, you know, whatever it is, your role is in the greater thing that's going on, you know, that is still very important and everybody plays their role. So I suppose, you know, your role does sound very interesting and very intriguing. And so whilst it may not be the person busting down the door to put out the fire, obviously still a very important thing. But it must be interesting being in and amongst that sort of crew of people. I mean, I think that you even made mention of being amongst heroes. And I thought that must just be a very interesting world to be plugged into for work.
It is. It's so interesting. And I guess my civilian eyes look at what they do truly as heroes. And I get to work amongst them and see their everyday life. And, you know, they go out grocery shopping in the fire engine and come back and cook their meals and make their meals. And you know, interacting with them, they're just regular people. But when disaster strikes, that's when they put on their professional gear and face and head out into the world and save lives. So it's really neat to work in that environment.
Yeah, it would be weird, hey? Like, and I mean, I suppose I don't really think of it, but like, you know, essential services, police, fireys, you know, the paramedics and different people. It's like you say, you know, an emergency's on. Not many are running away from that thing, fight, flight, freeze, whatever. But then you've got these other people that are like putting on a uniform and running towards it, thankfully, so that they can get it under control. So yeah, I suppose they are like heroes, and good to hear that you're supporting that. You know, like from your perspective, you know, that's obviously a healthy dose of inspiration. And I'd imagine that, you know, from the 15-second treadmill lady to running my ninth marathon and helping others to become the best that they can be, you would be dealing out a healthy dose of inspiration for those, you know, that are within your network. Have you found that, like, as you've, you know, continued to grow as an athlete, I suppose, and has that been inspiring people around you? Have you seen that taking place?
Well, that's a funny question. I guess I get those comments, you know, oh, this is so inspirational, and I guess I don't see myself as being inspiring. I'm just an everyday average runner, just like everyone else. But if what I can do brings inspiration to other people, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I like it. And of all the runs that you've done, like, you know, you think back, because it's nine marathons, but you've had, you know, half marathons and other races as well. Like, you know, is there one that stands out for you in your mind as your favorite?
I guess I have several favorites. Boston is always fun just because it's so such an inspiring weekend. It's just a celebration of running. But I think if I had to pick out my favorite race, it would be a marathon that I did in 2015. It was called the Fargo Marathon, and it was my first race after a pretty significant injury. I had a stress fracture in my foot. So I just trained to complete this thing, and I really wanted to go 4 hours for my marathon, and I pretty easily went 3:49. And I was just blown away. I wasn't expecting that. And that was the first time that I ever thought to myself, wow, if I actually follow a training plan next time, I think I can be pretty okay at this running thing. So I guess that was the first time I ever thought, wow, I have potential here.
Yeah, see, that's kind of cool too, isn't it? Because, you know, like, again, glancing in your bio, but, you know, mid-fours, 4 hours and 32 was your starting marathon time. So you kind of like just, you know, down all the way down to 3:18, like you're shedding time off of that. But, you know, to run under 4 hours, that's still pretty quick. 3:18 is lightning fast to me. So that must feel good as well, you know, like that you're seeing gains, that, you know, over the years that you've been able to find new peaks for yourself.
Yeah. Every time you can shave off, you know, some minutes off your personal best is always exciting. But I'm most excited to see what's to come in the future. I have unfinished business with the marathon, and I will see that time improve.
Ooh, sounds like a showdown. Cassie V Marathon. Okay, so what is it that you're like, you know, if you were sort of hunting down those goals, what does that unfinished business look like?
Well, the marathon that I ran yesterday, I trained honestly really crappy for it. These past couple months have been super busy with changing jobs, and we're painting our house, and we just moved into a new home. We purchased a home last October, so just lots of things going on. my peak week was 31 miles, pretty sad. I think I had about 3 quality long runs in before this one. plus I'm dealing with kind of some injury, in my body too. So if I can run a 3:18, really pretty untrained, I think given a good, healthy training cycle and, you know, a good weather race, I think I have some potential there to shave off a significant amount of time.
Under 3?
Oh gosh. I mean, that would be like ultimate goal, but, it's hard to say. All I know is that I have some speed in me, that given the right circumstances, I can run a faster marathon.
That's exciting. It must feel good. Like, and I suppose the next thing I'd like to know about is the mindset thing. But yeah, it does sound interesting that you're pretty chill. You sound pretty chilled, even from when we were just talking just before coming on air, but like super motivated, and you've got a lot going on, and I think everybody can sort of attest to or can speak to having a life that's jam-packed with things, and you can only mm-hmm. fit so much stuff in. Obviously the marathon thing's very important, but we've still got to live our life. Like, if you're a professional runner, I suppose that's cool. It's like, you know, I don't know, maybe professional runners still need to paint the house, but they probably don't need to go to their day job perhaps. So fitting it all in is a real challenge, and yet it seems that you're still able to fit most things in, and there's a raw talent there that you know, perhaps you've cultivated and grown to the level that it is. Like you were sort of saying, you've had to work for it, but it certainly seems that you're enjoying this thing, and that there's still a lot left in the tank. So that must be nice, because I can hear that there's this little inner fire that you're like, it's not quite raging yet. You really want to let this thing loose. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, what that'll be like once you do. But from your perspective, what do you think makes up a successful mindset?
Oh, gosh. I think first and foremost, hard work. You have to work hard if you have strong goals. But also you have to be okay with failing. If you have big goals and you're trying to reach them, you're going to fail at some point. So being okay with failing and being okay with being uncomfortable, that's a huge thing. I think the entire thing actually with racing is just be okay with being uncomfortable. Racing is wonderful and exciting, but you can guarantee that you are going to feel uncomfortable, and you just have to be okay with it. And not only okay with it, you just have to learn to work with it and thrive in that environment.
I like it. And so, you know, as you're saying that, I think, like, you know, it is about being able to fall 7, get up 8, fall 70, get up 71. Like, you know, like, it doesn't really matter how many times you get knocked down. It is about getting up and continuing to pursue the goal. And I suppose the more times you get knocked down, I mean, you know, inspirational stories of people that have tried something 1,000 times. Like, I mean, I don't know if it's right or not, but I like to make mention of Colonel Sanders, you know, his chicken recipe, however many times people said, no, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. Now it's a worldwide thing. You know, could any of us, if we were pursuing our goals, could we get knocked down 1,000 times and then stand up the 1,000 and first time in pursuing our dreams? So, you know, I love the idea of failing and continuing to push forward. So do you then think that that's tied to your why? Like, you have a strong purpose or a strong reason, a compelling reason that says, hey, if I do get knocked down, no, I actually really want this thing, and I'm just going to see all these failures as learnings and stepping stones?
Oh, absolutely. I think I'm really stubborn, and while that can be horrible, it can also be wonderful. If I fail at something, even if I didn't want it, if I fail, then I want it. And then I want it really bad, and I will go get it.
So that's an interesting thing. Okay, if you don't mind me asking, then have you ever found yourself chasing something that later on you realize, like, it may have only been because it had conquered you initially in whatever the interaction was? Do you ever have to, like, cut things loose to go, well, actually, no, this isn't a part of what it is that I actually want?
Oh, absolutely. Especially in this day and age with social media, sometimes you find yourself chasing things that you don't really want, but other people want them. So I think it's really important to evaluate, why am I doing this, and why do I want it? And only chase the things that you want. Doesn't matter what anyone else wants.
Is that something that you would, do you have like a ritual, or do you like, that sounds eerie, the word ritual, but, is there like once a month, or once a week, or is there times where you're sitting down and because, you mentioned about fitting everything in, you've got the house, the move, there's big rocks in our lives. I don't know if anybody's listened to Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, Stephen Covey. I love it. I love the book, mm-hmm. but the big rocks idea, the big priorities, the big important things in your life. Do you have anything that you take time where you sort of look at your life as a whole and go, actually, this is what's important? Running's obviously going to be part of that. Marathoning, coaching. Do you spend time thinking through those things each month, or is it just ad hoc?
Oh, I absolutely take time to reassess my goals. This year has been a tough one, full of a lot of change, full of injury. I made a lot of goals for myself that didn't happen because of the injury and the changes. And I think especially during those hard times, that's when I stop and reevaluate, what do I really want? Do mm-hmm. I want this? So while those times are hard, they can be really good because you prioritize what's really important and then let everything else go.
Oh, I like that. Are you writing goals down and sticking them up on the fridge? Are they on a bathroom mirror? Are they just held in your mind mentally? What is that like for you?
I do a lot of writing. I have a marker board kind of in my spare bedroom that houses my treadmill and kind of like a yoga area and my bookshelf. I have a marker board where if I'm really trying to meditate on something, I'll write a few statements up there and then I can erase them and change them. I have random sticky notes lying around on my bathroom mirror. If I need to remind myself of something, or if I'm having a really a time when I need to build confidence, I will write, small little reminders to myself to be confident, whatever makes me feel better at that time.
Oh, I like this. So mentally you seem to really have like a whole heap of strength and a way of doing things that's very intriguing. Your house is set up with a room, so that you can train, that you can do the things that you love. But then you've also got these little reminder things around the place. You've become aware that there's times when, maybe you need to give yourself a little boost. And I like little notes and little things around the place as well, because all of a sudden I was thinking about it yesterday. It's almost like I'm trying to teach myself how to live life manually rather mm-hmm. than automated, because everything's so fast. Mm-hmm. I just bounce from one thing to the next to the next. Mm-hmm. But it's almost like I'm just speeding through life and I'm not always, I'm present, but, it could be a little note that I spot and I'm like, oh, that's right. That's super important. Let's bring that into focus right now. Or I might have to let another activity go. Even though I'm doing that and I'm doing it well, I actually do need to let something go so that I can actually focus on the thing that I want to do. So you've got this whole structure built around you. Is meditation something that do you do that every day? Or
I wish I did it every day. I don't do it enough, but it's something that just brings a certain calmness and clarity to my life. And it does definitely help me to be more mindful. Some days, I don't know if other people are like this too, but some days it's just, I'm so anxious and I almost have a tight chest and I don't know why. So if I can bring myself back to being present and breath work and maybe some formal meditation, if I can, it always helps.
I like that. And you talked before about being comfortable, being uncomfortable, which I think that's kind of like a secret to life. And sometimes I think back to like our ancestors. I talk to my granddad and my granddad talks about his granddad. And I don't know what that would be like. Great, 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 something, granddad. And, but he talks about those times and, what they were doing and how they lived and, like a meat locker and, the way that they powered things. you know, not with electricity and just this whole range of you know, you have to call someone, so you call the person down the street who connects you to the next phone line. You know, you wanted to go somewhere, you walked, you mm-hmm. worked, they had farms and you know, I think now, and it's like life's different and it's got its own challenges now, but you know, it is whether you pick up any moment in time, there's people having to learn to be uncomfortable, or being comfortable to be uncomfortable. And so, mm-hmm. you know, I find that really interesting that was something that you want to be feeling and coaching yourself through on a daily basis. I suppose the anxious thing in the mental space, you know, I wonder if that maybe was around. Maybe it was around way back when. It seems to be a lot more prevalent now and talked about. So it's nice that meditation helps you to calm that headspace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And it's something you can do anywhere, and it's free. It's accessible to anyone.
Mm. And so, you know, do you have like goals? I mean, you know, that you're setting, like, do you have like giant, ridiculous goals? And then as well, then you break that down into smaller things that you want to have? Or do you have like a range of goals that you're sort of aiming for at any one time?
Oh, that's a good question. Some of my goals are absolutely ridiculous. So I guess the more ridiculous the goal, maybe you kind of bite it off, you know, one little chomp at a time. But I think that most of my goals, I make them pretty realistic, even if it's a stretch. The best goals are ones that make you really anxious when you think about them.
Yes, I like this technique. It's probably everywhere and everybody probably knows about it, but for anyone listening who's never heard of it, we use this a lot in coaching in my workplace, and it's SMART goals, you know. So they're specific, it's measurable, so you know, can I actually measure that I can do this thing? So it could be that you want to run a 3-hour marathon. Is it achievable? Well, if I'm running a 6-hour marathon, it probably isn't achievable, but it could be one day, but that might be my big, hairy, audacious goal. Realistic and time. So, you know, giving things a deadline, you can turn, like, it could be a dream for me to run a 3-hour marathon, giving it a time of 3 years from now, then that makes it, I've got a deadline and it's timed. So when you think about your goals and you think back on when you've set goals in the past, have there been ridiculous goals that you've set in the past at the time you thought they were ridiculous and then you've now achieved them?
Oh, absolutely. way back in the day, I remember the small group of runners from my hometown talking about Boston, and I didn't even really realize that I knew that Boston was a big deal, but I didn't know why. And then I found out what the qualifying standards were, and it wasn't even a goal of mine at the time because I thought, well, that's laughable. I would never do that. And then really after my 2015 marathon, I thought, well, maybe I'll do that one day. And I was lucky enough to run my third Boston this year. So,
See, that's kind of cool, isn't it? Does that then help you, you know, when you think now about when you're setting bigger goals, or when you're, you know, sort of raising the line of sight to a wider or a deeper horizon, or, you know, further in the distance, that those ridiculous goals, whilst they're scary, maybe deep down feel a little bit more achievable because you've already scaled some pretty lofty heights to get to where you are?
Oh, absolutely. Sometimes even through everyday life, if I have something tough coming up, I think, oh, well, I ran this race in these conditions. I can do anything. I can do this.
Wow. So that's cool. So then that must be interesting. Have you seen this, the benefits of being an athlete permeate or cross over into all the other areas of your life? I mean, you've already just mentioned that, but like, tell me a little bit more about that, because you know the you tackling life now, you know, you're saying you're stubborn with that, like, gritty, I'm going to get this thing done. That person in life now with all of this you know, swag of great memories and great goals that you've conquered and achieved, you almost more like Wonder Woman status now in life, perhaps compared to where you may have been prior. Like, still, there may be a Wonder Woman back then, but maybe not quite as powerful. So has that been interesting in other areas of your life?
Oh yeah, I pretty much every day, I can see where being an athlete and being a runner translates into everyday life. Running is pretty much like life. It's hard. So if you can learn to thrive in that uncomfortable, you know, environment, it translates into everything. Work sometimes is really hard. Relationships are really hard. It's hard to balance everything that we have going on. And then running is really hard, but it's also that time where you can just relax and enjoy. It's the one part of the day where I don't have to answer to anyone. I don't have to have my phone with me. It's just for me. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. The harder something is, the sweeter it is when you can achieve it and conquer it.
I like that. I like that. And you find that, you know, the running, doing the races and you're working towards races and they're fun, obviously, to do. But it sounds like you're quite enjoying actually just the daily efforts in training. That sounds like a lot of fun and a zen zone for you almost.
Oh, yes. My favorite runs are running to work in the morning without a watch.
Tell me about that.
So I've never had the opportunity to run to work before moving to Oregon in 2017. So when we moved here, my job, I worked at a police station. So we had, you know, women's locker rooms. So I thought, what the heck, I'm going to try running to work. And I did it. And it was just the most relaxing thing. You don't have to drive and, you know, deal with traffic and annoying drivers in the morning. You get outside, it's two birds with one, or excuse me, just
multiple birds with one stone. You're like playing that skipping game. Yeah, it's like we don't have to imagine real birds. It's almost like you're at the carnival and you're like knocking down those little ducks, you know, with a little gun. Like one bullet shot down five ducks. You're like, what? What a way to start my day. You're feeling pumped. Just tuck away your cape into your locker. You might as well have worn a cape to work. That's how I think I'd feel. I live close enough to walk to work, and I have walked a couple of times, but there's nowhere to sort of shower or change. So I don't want to put my staff through the misery of dealing with me turning up all sweaty from walking to work. But if there was a shower and somewhere to get changed there, that would be something that I would want to do every day, because it's just there's something magical about not – I used to drive like maybe an hour and a half to 2 hours each way in traffic, bumper to bumper. It just chewed up. I did everything I could to stay positive. Like I listened to audiobooks, podcasts, different things. But it was kind of like me battling what was somewhat of a miserable time. And I think it helped me to build more mental strength, because I was like, come on, you shouldn't be upset. But I just knew I was just burning time sitting in the car. And I think a lot of people can probably attest to the traffic thing. If someone you could just beam me up, Scotty, to work, I would. I'd take walking or running to work if I could as well. So is that something that you do most days?
It's something that now that I don't have a marathon looming over my head, I will do a lot more. So most days of the week, I will be able to run to work.
Yeah, nice. Well, that's cool. That's cool. And then walking, going home after work, you don't mind that as well? Like you're not at home at work at the end of the long day like, oh, God, I wish my – wish my car was here, or like you've got like a backup scooter or something just in case.
No backup scooter, but I think that's where the easy running, where my love of easy running comes into play, because there's no pressure at all. You can just go and be as fast or slow as you want to be.
See, that's cool. I like it. And you've sort of talked a little bit about having some injuries and, you know, because obviously you're pushing yourself pretty hard. But, you know, how do you manage your recovery? Like, is there any tips or tricks that you have to sort of keep your body in tune, or are you spending time like listening to niggles and physios? Like, what does that sort of look like for you?
I think the biggest thing that all stubborn runners, myself included, need to do is just listen to your body. Injuries don't come out of nowhere. If we listen to our body, we can spot an injury way before it becomes an injury. So if you listen to your body and take appropriate care of yourself, you won't become injured. With that, I have had multiple injuries And it's all because I decided to push through and I shouldn't have. And if I would have listened to my body right away, they wouldn't have, you know, turned into injuries. But just listening to your body and not thinking, oh, I have this race, I have to power through this 4 mile run. No, you don't.
Again, because we're not professional runners. Like whilst we want to hit these times, we want to improve things. You know, it sounds to me like you've got a pretty mature approach that says, you know, if I'm not right and I get injured, then I'm out for a long time and I don't want that. And having to live the rest of your life with an injury is a challenge as well. So say you had a niggle in your leg or something, are you then like, you know, going and getting a massage? Are you seeing a physio? Like once you've listened to your body, what next steps are you taking to make sure that everything's okay?
Well, if I feel something coming on, I'll take a couple of days off and then go test the waters. But, I do regularly, get massages. I see an acupuncturist. I try to take pretty good care of my body with, you know, stretching and yoga. Strength work is something that is so important, and a lot of runners overlook the importance of it. But if you have any extra time sitting around, well, every runner should make time for strength.
Yeah, because not many people have extra time. Like even just that sentence in my mind, I'm like, oh God, I just ran through my – and there is time. Do you know, like I listen to motivational speeches and I don't know if it's E.T. I probably don't – Edward Thomas, something like that. Some guy, I think he was like homeless and now he's like a doctor and, you know, a millionaire motivational speaker. And he just kind of like really yells at you. Like, you know, I just love hearing him. But he's like, you got time, you know, and like just little things that, you know, if you actually – took a step back and looked at your life, and I've done this a number of times where you're like, oh no, I'm flat out. Even when you're saying that, I'm like, oh, I'm flat out. But then I think, hang on a second, there's probably an hour here or 30 minutes there or 15 minutes here that I probably could, you know, do some squats or do some, you know, it doesn't have to be getting to the gym either. Like, you know, the strength work and when things are important, and if the gain of doing those things outweighs the cost of not doing them, then it's probably worthwhile, you know, if we go back to that big rocks theory, that then goes on to, you put the big rocks in first, the pebbles then scattering all around. So whilst it may not be a big rock strength training, and maybe it needs to be, at least if you could make it a pebble that fits around the big rocks, then it's got, you've got time for it. So I suppose, yeah, having a look at your life, do you have to do that then? Like, you know, or does your training plan include strength training days?
I have been for the past couple of months going to bar classes 3 times a week. I schedule my own training and make my own plans. So the biggest
thing is...
Sounds like
a drinking game, bar classes.
Yeah, yeah, you know, the other like, kind of bar.
Like I'm heading out, and you know we drank 3 cocktails last night and they were delicious. No, so I apologize for interrupting. What's a bar class?
It is mainly body weight strength work. There's literally a bar going across the room. So you do part of the work in the middle of the room, just all with your body. And then you will do some moves against the bar. So it's kind of like dance classes.
I'm imagining ballet.
Yeah. You know. I never took ballet or any sort of dance classes as a kid, but that's what I hear everyone else in the class refer to it as, or they say that it reminds them of dance classes as a kid. But it's a really good complement to running because it's not heavy weights at all. It's mostly body work and these little laughable tiny dumbbells, but it's high repetition, so it's really great for strength and endurance.
Mm. You know what's so funny though about I'm gonna have to look this up because it's an interesting mental picture I've got. You know, I don't know why. As soon as I thought ballet, I'm imagining everybody there with their dumbbells and what are those little skirt things called?
Yeah.
My one. I don't know what they're called. But you know those little tiny dumbbell thingies. You're looking at those little. I remember I went to a boxing class once and they were like, you know, hold these two things above your head, and I'm like, all right, you got any bigger ones? You know, and then like 3 or 4 minutes minutes into doing these tiny little things, my arms started to not be able to lift anymore. And looking at these little tiny things in your hands, once the reps are high enough, you're like, I can't move. You're just hoping that no one takes a photo of you at that moment, because that would be something that would be hard to live down. Like, oh, look at the man not able to lift the little weights. You know, like, and right. It would be me, man, right? So that's an interesting thing. So that sounds like a bit of fun. Are you getting to interact with others as well? Are there other runners in that class or?
There are a few other runners. It's actually pretty funny when you look around the room. You can kind of spot the runner just from their workout gear. Yeah, it's really an enjoyable class. I thrive in group environments. So for me to be consistent with strength training, if I can do it in a group setting, I will 100% be consistent.
Is that like the extrovert in you? Do you know if you're extroverted, introverted?
You know, I think I'm more of an extroverted introvert, actually.
Okay, yeah, I'd pick my wife as the same sort of thing. You know, she's I reckon that she's a quiet extrovert, but she'd say that, and the Myers-Briggs test shows that she's the complete opposite to me, and is in every question that we answered, she did the exact opposite one to me, which is really interesting. But you say you like the group thing. Do you kind of get a little bit of energy from being amongst others?
Oh, absolutely. I love the energy of a room filled with people who are all there to work out. It's the best energy.
And so, you know, whether or not that might be one of the things that you suggest to people that are getting into the sport or into endurance, you know, people, whether they're sitting on the couch or maybe they've started, you know, doing some form of exercise, they wanted to transform their life in some way, you know, they might be looking at the treadmill and have just hopped off after 15 seconds and thinking, I don't know if this is for me. So from your perspective, would you have three tips, you know, for people looking to get into endurance?
So three tips. I would say probably the first one is get prepared to work hard. Whatever that means to you, just know that you need to start working hard. Don't compare yourself to others. Don't go on Instagram and start looking at other people and comparing yourself. That is just a trap and will always make you feel bad about yourself. And probably identify your why. Why are you doing this? If you don't know your why, the first time that you get uncomfortable or you fail, you might quit. So if you can know why you're doing it, that's really important.
I like that. I do like that. The don't compare things tricky, isn't it? Because, you know, I follow, I don't even know, maybe 1,000 people on Instagram, and the feeds that roll through, yours included, you're like, oh, whoa, look at the miles that person did. And like, oh, whoa, look at the time coming down from this to that. And 3 hours and 18, like, how will I ever do 3 hours and 18 minutes? And I couldn't even run the whole way. You know, and it's challenging, isn't it? And then, but I guess, well, I mean, it'd be interesting to know from your perspective, like, have you fallen trapped to the comparison thing? And like, obviously maybe you have, because that's how it's become one of your tips. And then how do you overcome it?
Oh, absolutely. I found myself scrolling through Instagram and seeing people and thinking, oh my gosh, they're so wonderful. Why can't I do that? And that's just, you're doing yourself a disservice by comparing yourself. That's the great thing about running, is it's never you versus them. It's always you versus you. Someone else's best day, you know, that's usually what people put out there on Instagram, is just their best. You don't know what it took for them to get there. You don't know what they're doing every day. You don't know what their internal dialogue looks like. So I think it's just wasted energy. If you can take that energy and just use it for yourself, use it and focus on your goals and just go work really hard. And just because someone else is succeeding, it doesn't take anything away from you. So just really try to be supportive, but just focus on yourself and see if you can make yourself better. Don't ever look at someone else and think, why am I not doing that? There's a whole lot going on that we'll never know.
I like it. And do you think, you know, like nearly 10 marathons, well, 9 marathons under your belt, is there any hint for you to, or, you know, desire to go to a longer distance?
Well, actually, I registered for a trail 50 miler last year with one of my best running friends, and I was injured and I couldn't do it. And I was going to do it with her this summer, and I've been dealing with injury, so I was unable to do it again. But I wouldn't mind actually completing that 50 miler. Trail is completely different than road, and it's just a different mindset. It's not about time. It's just about time on your feet and completing the distance. So I'm not sure if it's something that I would necessarily get into, because my real love is a marathon on the road.
Yeah, that's interesting, hey, because some people that come across, like, you know, when I was first, like some of my early interviews, I would come across trail runners and they'd be like, oh my God, and once you've gone trail, you'll never go back. And in a way, like, you know, some of the things are like the jolt and the shock on your body from the hard road compared to the soft surfaces, the pressure that probably comes off from having to, you know, reach certain times, to being out there, also being amongst nature. You know, I have found that some of the picturesque spots that I've run through, or some of the picturesque places that I've suffered through, which is, that's a really weird feeling, like, wow, this nature's really beautiful, I'm hating life right now. You know, well, I'm loving life, but like my body's just like miserable in pain. So that's an interesting one that a lot of people do talk about once they've gone trail. Have you, you know, whether it be training or other than, you know, outside the marathon world, have you gone and done trail running?
I have. Ever since I moved to Oregon, this is like the mother lode of amazing trails and beautiful forests. So I have taken a bit to the trails, and it is wonderful. It's so peaceful out there. I do love it. And I could see myself running some trails, but I still love road running more.
Well, that's good to know what you like. I mean, you know, until you try new things, you can't. I think sometimes trying new things is a good thing. Well, I think trying new things always is a good thing in some regards, for me personally, my personality. But you know, because then it can help you confirm what you were doing is what you love, and maybe sometimes even time away from the thing that you love, like, because, you know, people talk about like, oh, I was starting to get over it, was starting to become a bit of a chore, I'm just running because I'm running because I've got an event, I'm not enjoying this thing. Well, maybe go and do a trail run, or go and do a triathlon, or go and do an ocean swim, or go and swim in the local swimming pool. You know, people, probably runners listening to this, are like, oh, please don't make me swim. But you know, especially not maybe in the open water. But sometimes doing those things, because, you know, for me, like, I've always loved running when I was young. It seems that now, and I did tried to do an ultra run, didn't quite finish it, only made 44K, but like my hip since then hasn't been right, and my knee, and I'm doing physio, and I'm doing different things, stretching, and but it's just like my body is a bit like, you're gonna have to really work to get this running thing going. Whereas swimming, I just turn up and I just swim, and I just really enjoy it. And I used to hate swimming. So, you know, without trying new things, you can't either confirm that you love something else, or you might miss something that you love even more than running. Like, you might go into a triathlon and be like, oh my gosh, road triathlon actually happens to be your dream. You ever done a triathlon before, just as a side note?
No, I hate water. I've always hated water. I'm jealous of your love of swimming. That would be the perfect cross training for running, but I can't do water.
That's fair. Again, like, you know, it's like, it seems what I'm finding, you know, there's many touch points here of where you're being an inspiration, but it certainly seems that you know what resonates with you, what's sparking joy for you. And so that's a gift, I think, because you've searched it out, you've built it into your life, and you're still willing to try the things, and you're open, but it seems to me that you really just know where home is in terms of your passion and your joy.
I think so. And it's not complicated. Does it make you happy? Yeah, do more of it. Does it not make you happy? No, then let it be.
Oh, what a, this has been such a fun catch up, Cassie. I've just had like such a great time digging into all of these things. Often, or pretty much every time, but like I love just being in an interview with someone amazing like yourself. And you know, we're going through different bits and pieces, and I just think, oh my god, there's so far. I could just take it here. I could take it there. And just to understand, you know, how you tick and what you know your passions are and what you love doing. And I think for me, I'm lucky that I get to have this interview and listeners get to hear this as well. But obviously, we still get to follow along on the social media side of things. So from yourself, did you have some social media handles or, you know, website addresses or anything else like that that you might like to share where people could follow along and get their dose of inspiration?
On Instagram, I am Crunchy Runner. And then my coaching website is crunchyrunnercoaching.com.
Nice. Now, I am wondering, Crunchy Runner, how did that come about?
Well, I am originally from North Dakota. So back there, everyone is pretty conservative. So I was always the crunchy one, so to speak. So that's where Crunchy Runner was born.
Nice. Well, I mean, it is a super inspirational feed. You know, you're out there, you're in long socks, and you're just looking super fancy, super fit. So I'm just very grateful that we've had a chance to catch up and you know dig into you know what is just quite an amazing mindset that you've got. But Cassie, I just really want to you know finish up by saying thank you so much for taking the time to have a chat today.
Thank you. This was really fun.